Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Heavenly Father, through the written word and the spoken word, open our eyes to the living word, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Please do sit. So it's just an idle tale. That's what the apostles thought when they first heard the news that Jesus was risen. They didn't believe it. And I wonder if we were in their place, would we react any differently? Imagine what it would be like if that miracle happened today. Imagine the world waking up to the news that a well-known faith teacher and miracle worker who died on Friday was now alive again, according to his followers. Imagine those first witnesses sharing that joyful news on social media. But imagine the reaction of the world, the skepticism that follows, the endless fact-checking, the arguments and more arguments, demand for proof, news reports interviewing so-called experts, and so on. So maybe it's a good thing that the first Easter happened when it did. But then again, isn't that basically what happened on that first Easter? The resurrection of Jesus, it seems, has always been met with skepticism. So the apostles dismiss the words of Mary Magdalene and the other women as just being an idle tale. But these are women of some importance. These are women who've actually been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. We encounter them for the first time in chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel. And we hear about Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chuser, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. Jesus' ministry began in Galilee. These were people who journeyed with Jesus right from the beginning, yet their words are dismissed by the apostles as being an idle tale. These same apostles who, as I suggested last week, were the ones who were striding triumphantly beside Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. These same apostles who were probably swaggering along, thinking they've got it made. They're now hiding in fear, and they are deriding the words of the women as just being an idle tale. But it's sometimes hard to know what to believe. Sometimes we can see a video that's posted online and we wonder if it really happened. You might read a story that's been shared by a friend and wonder if it's actually true. It's statistics can be offered by so-called experts, which seem to directly contradict what we've already just heard from another completely different expert. And it so often seems easy to believe simply neither. It's hard to know what to believe these days, and sometimes it's just tempting not to believe any of it. But we then come to today, this wonderful day, when we gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, his living presence among us. And even here, shaped by what we know, there still can be that little voice of doubt. Is it really true? Did it actually happen? And if it did, where's he now? Where's the proof? We live in times when we're all taught to ask questions, question every little thing, often to doubt and to even suspend belief until we find out that something is actually true. And it's natural, I think, at all times to be just a little bit skeptical, just like those first apostles when they reacted to those words that Jesus is alive. But we are here 2,000 years later, and we're gathering with countless Christians around the globe to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Because, unlike what the apostles might have thought, the resurrection is not an idle tale to be dismissed. It happened. It changed the course of the lives of those apostles forever. It changed the course of life for all those with whom Jesus journeyed forever. And so, of course, the good news of the resurrection changes our life as well. We're here today because we know that Jesus was raised from the dead. We're here because ultimately doubt and skepticism is not going to win the day. We're here today because of the truth. And the truth is that God raised Jesus from the dead. Easter changes everything. We're here today because Jesus is alive. And that's no idle tale. It doesn't depend on our faith for it to be true. It simply is. It's one of those truisms. Jesus is alive. And so everything is changed. Suddenly everything is different, and we start to look on life with a brand new set of eyes as to what is going on. In some ways, the resurrection can give us a glimpse into eternity. And once we've looked on that, everything looks different, because everything is different. In the resurrection, we realize death is not the end. The powers that rebel against God then and now don't win. And we don't have to worry about all that. The resurrection of Jesus actually sets us free to live lives in a whole new, brand new way. To be free. The gift of Easter is our freedom. Our freedom from the chains of sin and death. So just go back to the now 11 gathered together in that room. They'd locked the doors because they were afraid. What had happened? How have they gone from being suddenly courageous and faithful walking with Jesus to suddenly being scared and confused? Gathering together because there's safety in numbers. Gathering together because they're afraid that the Jewish authorities will come looking for them. And then the women arrive into the mix. They tell of this glorious resurrection, and it changes everything. The lives of the apostles were radically changed by Jesus' resurrection. Eventually, courage took the better of them, and they're able to leave that locked room and shout the good news of Easter from the rooftops, even though ultimately that sharing that good news was going to put their lives in danger. They went on to live fearlessly because they were filled with the joy and the hope that the resurrection had brought them. And nothing in this world could take away their joy once they'd embraced that good news. For them, everything was possible in the light of Easter. Jesus' promise, his assurance had come true. This was the one who'd promised them eternal life, and so their lives show us what can happen when we actually put aside our doubts and we are prepared to embrace and accept the truth that Jesus really, truly is risen. Those apostles teach us what it means to trust in God who was prepared to raise Jesus from the dead. To realize that on that first Easter Sunday, God changes the very course of the world forever. And that changes the way they live their lives. And the resurrection should change the way in which we live our lives. But don't let the story stop there. Carry on through 2,000 years of human history. Think of those countless millions of people who've placed their faith and trust in the same God that we believe in, the same God who raises Jesus from the dead. And think of what a difference Easter has made in the lives of millions and millions of people throughout history. I'm sure we could all think of somebody or some people whose faith might have inspired us. People we've known who've faced challenge in life, and their trust would be impossible without trusting in their faith in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. And we all know people who can just be so full of hope and life and joy that it just seems as though nothing's going to get in their way, because they know the joy of God. They know the hope and the love that flows from God, that same God of Easter, and they choose to embrace the good news. So Easter changes us because it means that the rules have changed. The rules that we thought the world has to live by are changed by the miracle at the heart of Easter. So three things that change because of Easter. First, most obviously, Easter changes us because God changes the most basic thing of all. God changes our preconception that everybody dies. God changes that into the joy of the resurrection, and that means that there is nothing that we truly have to fear in this life. The empty tomb of Jesus takes away our fear because we're now assured of heaven. Death, the enemy, has been defeated. The greatest fear no longer has any power over us. So that means, as the Bible puts it, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Not even doubt or sin or even trying to deny Jesus. The apostles were just like us. They doubted, they sinned, they let stuff get in the way. At the end, when their lives were on the line, they were prepared to even deny knowing Jesus. So what did Jesus do? He simply appeared to them. And in doing that, their doubts are taken away. Jesus was prepared to forgive their doubt, their sin, and their turning away. So he sets a brand new set of rules, a different code to live by. Rules and examples that won't separate us from God's love, because Jesus won't allow that to happen. Nothing separates us from the love of God. So that means, as an Easter people, as people of the resurrection, we have hearts that are filled with God's love. And it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. Nothing separates us from God's love. Nothing. And the third Easter rule is that there's nothing in life that is completely hopeless. Those apostles thought they'd found a completely hopeless situation. They'd been with Jesus through so much, and suddenly he's taken away and he dies. He's buried in a tomb. And in that same tomb with the body of Jesus go their hopes and their expectations. And those hopes and expectations get sealed away. But in the resurrection, God changes it again, because God says that you can't kill hope when you've got faith. How can you bury hope in a tomb when you're trusting in God who changes hope in the first place? Death is defeated, the king is alive, because Jesus will always be alive. And all things now work together for the good of those who love him. There is no tomb, no burial place that can hide God's love. There's no tomb that can bury our hope in God. There's no earthly power that can completely bury our hope, even though some of them try. Nothing in this world can truly do that. And so today we can rejoice, because no matter what's happening in our life or what's happening in our world, we can and we must rejoice, because Jesus is risen, and that's no idle tale. I always love John's account of the resurrection, when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb and she's looking to anoint the body of Jesus, because so much had happened in a short time. The body of Jesus was suddenly taken down from the cross. It had to happen really quickly because the Sabbath was upon them. So the body is taken down and it's quickly placed in a tomb. The tomb is sealed and everyone goes away, hearts broken with grief. And then Mary comes along to do what anyone would do for a friend. She comes along to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. And the way John puts it, Mary goes with a different kind of expectation in her heart. She's not going there thinking, well, who's going to roll away the stone from the tomb? She goes there knowing that she's got to complete an act of love. And when she gets there, suddenly the stone is rolled away. And there's a figure there. And thinking that that person is the gardener, Mary, probably full of anxiety, anger, is saying, they've taken away the body of my Lord. Where have they put him? Show me where he is. A righteous kind of anger. But then that man she suspects to be the gardener turns around and he calls her by name, Mary. And we're not told at that point what goes on in Mary's heart. But I can imagine it's something like the floodgates opening and the warmth, depth of God's love suddenly flows through. And I think we can imagine the look on Jesus' face as well, as he sees Mary reacting to that news. And I think the same amount of love and the same thing was happening in his heart as well, because God rejoices so much when we open ourselves to him and we embrace the truth. Somebody gave us our name in the first place. Somebody, not ourselves, chose what we were going to be called at the beginning of our life. And our names were written in God's book before our limbs were even formed or breath was put into our body. Our story is all written in God's book. And God calls each of us by name, and it's up to us to respond. So the question we have to ask ourselves today is, when God calls us by our name, how are we going to respond? What are we going to say? In the newly changed rules of Easter, resurrection takes the place of death. Faith replaces doubts. Courage replaces fear, and hope takes the place of despair. God's love, which is stronger than death, conquers everything. So, friends, there is no need to doubt or despair ever again, because the resurrection is true. It is no idle tale, and the resurrection changes the rules forever. So believe in it, rejoice in it, and let your life be changed forever by this miracle. For Christ is truly risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's stand and say the Apostles' Creed.